Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit. And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here, Chicago here, JD on my left, Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night.
Tuesday, wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome to Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right here on the Under the Hood podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood. So glad that you are with us. Coming up on Sunday, October 21st, 7:05 Eastern Time, 6:05 Central, from the fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee, it's NWA 70 taking place on the Fight app, F-I-T-E Fight app. You can watch it, and it'll be Aldis Cody 2, the NWA Championships on the line, as the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, will take on Nick Aldis in a rematch from what took place in All In Chicago a few months ago. That's going to be great. Dave Lagana, the vice president of the National Wrestling Alliance, is with us right here on the Under the Hood podcast on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Dave, as always, I appreciate your time.
Any better, I'd be dead.
Dave, we'll start here. Again, looking forward to the event taking place on Sunday, October 21st, 6:05 Central Time. I love the timing of this. NWA 70, you can find this on the Fight app, F-I-T-E Fight app. Again, you can download that, watch it. I want to get your thoughts, though, about the event, how it all came together. How did it all come together for the 70th anniversary of the NWA?
So when Billy bought the brand back in May, July, you can split hairs. We took over the brand in October. You know, we obviously knew that 2018 was the 70th year of the brand, and finding the exact anniversary date is kind of challenging. I think it's July when Sam Mushnick and Pinky George and everybody went to Waterloo, Iowa in July, which actually, it was in a 10 pounds. I went to Waterloo, Iowa and stood in the spot that those men met. Adam Pearce, Kyle Klingman, and a bunch of guys at the Hall of Fame that weekend. And we stood in the spot that the brand was founded. And it's literally the activity room of a senior living facility. And you would think, oh, we'd be there 5 minutes. We stood there for an hour, and none of us really talked. So, you know, the weight of the brand, Billy always says, history is heavy if you let it be. And, you know, to be the shepherds, custodians, the front people of this brand that's 70 years old, has all this history, you know, we wanted to find the right way to celebrate it, which is why we didn't immediately throw the 70 logo up and we took it over, because we felt that would be gratuitous. So the idea came from a conversation we had with Jeff Jarrett, who wanted to do sort of a super show, original idea with an NWA world title match and maybe one other thing. And we went back with, what if we just did an anniversary show in Nashville with the history of the NWA, you know, the fight exclusive show, you know, knowing sort of what the success of All In would have been at the time when we discussed it. We thought it was the nice, drafting off of it, you know, 6 to 8 weeks later, you know, it's the rematch. You know, we were able to secure the rematch of the match that really everyone emotionally felt the most at All In, and the one that sold tickets. You know what I mean? We only had one match announced when we sold tickets, and we sold I was just on the phone with Jeff. We sold a lion's share of the tickets. You know, this is the largest house at the fairgrounds for wrestling show. Jeff doesn't even know, and Jeff's been Mr. Nashville forever, but this is the largest house as far as money spent. You know, we've sold over 300 ringside seats at $70 in Nashville. You know what I mean? Like, which is unheard of as well, which shows that this brand, which many call dead, has a pulse.
Well, I told you in Chicago that the only reason why that I put time and effort into even doing a live broadcast of All In is because of Aldis versus Cody, because the NWA means that much to me as a kid and to where it is right now. To me, the match that resonated with me the most, the reason why I was there, is because of Aldis versus Cody, because of the buildup on the NWA YouTube page to be able to see both of these guys be real in front of the camera, tell you how they really feel. I want to get your thoughts, because I have not spoken to you since that match. What would you think of Aldis Cody won in Chicago? What did you think of the match?
I will say it hit me in many waves. I on a meta level, people could have seen what that week was like for me, because I almost wish I could see what it was like for me, because not only the week before, but since, honestly, I was in Waterloo, you know, on July 27th, it's been kind of this emotional roller coaster ride, and trying to pull off one match, you know what I mean, to get people interested in a match a year before most people went meh, and the fact that, you know, it peaked, and you know, I think we talked on Thursday morning. I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was Friday morning. I think it was definitely Thursday morning we talked, and I was upon finishing sort of the dusty the go home 20-minute episode. And you know, the energy of that episode really, I think, changed the mood last minute on that match. It really showed how even it was. And so for me, I was, you know, almost, I hate to say drained at that moment. So when the match came, and thankfully I had hired two really good directors of photography to document that day, you know, because I had to sort of manage a lot of elements of that day. You know, I was C camera that day, so the shot in the 10 pounds from the stage, the long shot when Cody wins, I call it the Sting shot. That shot when Sting beat Flair and they cut to the back of the Baltimore Arena, you see everybody going crazy. Like, that's honestly one of my favorite shots of wrestling ever. When you see 8,000, 10,000 people losing their mind in unison over a pro wrestling match, I was on the back of the stage, so I was legitimately the furthest away from the ring probably than anybody. I was against the back wall of the Sears Center, and you know, when the bell rang and that audience reacted the way they did, I don't think any of us thought it would happen. I don't think we really planned for it. We joked about Rock and Hogan, and it happened. And for me, that was sort of the emotional center of that day. And when Cody won, that was the easiest emotion. You know, you saying to me, "Oh, Cody won the title for, you know, the title his father had." Yeah, that's the easy goosebumps. But for people to be appreciative of something that didn't exist a year ago, and that Billy and I put a lot of work into, and everybody told us, you can't do it, this isn't going to work, and it did. I mean, I was more sad that Billy wasn't there in person to see it, because, you know, he believed in Nick. He believed in me. He believed in Cody to give him the opportunity with this crazy idea of a match again that most people even involved in the event were skeptical of. It didn't belong on that card. A lot of people felt that, because it wasn't a internet dream match, but we made it one. So, you know, that day, you know, after, you know, I didn't feel Cody's win until I got home or got to my computer to really put it together, and then to see it from not only the three angles I had, but, you know, fan sent footage, and to feel that energy around that ring and to see Cody's reaction, and then even the moment of Nick's reaction walking up the stage. I mean, that to me was a complete and utter change on what the business was for me, and sort of the vision of what we think it can look like moving forward. A truly authentic world title match without the gaga that sometimes distracts. When presented like that, it is as legitimate and as authentic as possible. So, you know, it's to this moment, I try to watch that video once a week now to remind myself. I'm literally cutting the go home piece for NWA 70 for them, and I'm at that moment again. It will live forever in a way that and maybe it's hyperbole, I don't know what'll touch it. I don't know another moment, even if we tried to create it, would come close, because it was almost a perfect moment.
So NWA 70 taking place October 21st in Nashville, Tennessee, and again 7:05 Eastern, 6:05 Central. For those that are traveling or that are listening in the Nashville area, Dave, there's still meet and greet passes and experiences for this around this NWA 70 event, right?
Yeah, the Billy meet and greet sold out first day. We only put 50 of those on sale. You know, there's a limited amount of things left. You know, time is going to be limited. You know, I think they started two. The website has all the information. If you go to NWA70.com, you know, the tickets, you know, Jeff told me there are 7 ringside seats left, you know, and there's about, you know, there's a couple hundred general admission. We're hoping to go clean. You know, there's a lot going on with this, and genuinely, I have no idea what to expect from the energy of that crowd. But here's a crowd that Nashville is very well known for being a walk-up type town. You know what I mean? Like, And here we have a match that is as real as the first one is. The second one is equally as real, if not more. And you know, the story behind the story. I put up a tweet a while ago. I think it's actually still pinned on my page. It's one of my favorite sayings I came up with on September 17th. The closer you are to reality, the better the fiction becomes. And that is probably the best summing up of where the reality and the fiction are for this Sunday.
You're going to be crowning an NWA national champion as well on this card. And I think about the national championship and the likes of Austin Idol, who's been part of the NWA YouTube series, as well as the Masked Superstar, Ted DiBiase, Paul Orndorff. They've all been national champions. Can you tell me why this is the right time to crown a champion at this point in time?
Yes. So the Double J and I were talking, and Cody and I were talking. If you grew up a wrestling fan in the 80s, the world heavyweight champion, and you know, Jim Cornette talked about it in the piece that I did last week. The world championship was not often defended in your town. It was not, and very rarely changed hands. So that, what I hate the term secondary, but that secondary title, the Intercontinental title, the U.S., that national title, like that was almost sort of the proving ground for a lot of guys to prove that they could be world champion. Ted DiBiase, interesting, I was actually just cutting this moment. Ted DiBiase approached Cody in New Jersey this past week, and it'll be in the next 10 pounds of gold. And, you know, that famous story that Ted was either promised or supposed to be NWA world champion. And it was, you know, I worked with Ted, and, you know, he was in line to be NWA World Champion, and it's just so interesting. There he is, and the belt's there, and he never got it, and, like, all the emotions and sort of subtext that exist. But, you know, Ted was the national champion. Ted was the UWF champion. He was the North American champion. Like we want to bring back a title in a completely new way. And, boy, have I learned about what we call the belt people. They are dying what the belt looks like. And I've been real particular to not release it. Even me, only the belt maker, I, Billy, and about 2 other people know what this belt looks like. It just was finished. It's legitimately on the way here. And, you know, I saw pictures, and I'm trying to decide how we're going to reveal it. And I think what I'm going to do is it's going to probably be in a video with all the national champion guys, sort of in a reveal. I think it is different than any other title right now on the market, which to me, but it has a strong tie to the history of this brand. And it's something that I'm really happy that we made the decision, because in a world of polarizing things, it will be a polarizing championship where if you don't have an opinion on it, you don't have a pulse.
Can you tell me who made the belt?
No.
Can you tell me the color of the belt?
No.
The belt marks are going to be so mad. I tried belt marks. I tried.
I mean, like I even had one guy willing to work for free for me if I showed him the belt and I told him no.
Well, it's a belt and not a trophy. It's not an old school trophy, or it's not a medal around the neck. It definitely is a championship title,
not,
right?
I'm not, not telling you anything, Jonathan. I've known you for 10 years. You ain't getting nothing out of me. I'm Fort Knox, and no, it's not shaped like Fort Knox. I've racked my brains for the best, like, I don't even think a tweet does it the best thing. Like, part of me wants to wait and make people buy the pay-per-view, but also I understand the value of getting it out ahead of time as well. So when it arrives in a day or two, I've seen it. It's on its way. You know, Billy's seen a picture. He loves it. You know, I love it for what it is. And, you know, in a world where I don't have The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I want things people are – curiosity killed the cat, and it also killed the bull marks.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. At least I thought I would ask, though, because that's I'm really interested in this, because obviously growing up watching the NWA, the national title does resonate with me, so I'm looking forward to that.
And just, you know, the plan, and if I survive this week, which feels legitimate of a concern, is to create a whole different approach with that championship on how it is presented in our YouTube environment. I love 10 Pounds of Gold. It is legitimately probably the only child I will ever have in birth and raise is that series. The series around the national title will be a lot more raw and gritty, and I have yet to find it because we haven't started it yet. But, you know, and just like Jazz, you know what I mean? Like, I want our content to continue to feel as real and organic as possible. That's why I was so happy with everyone's reaction to the Jazz piece, because I didn't actually watch what they did on Raw last night with the girls, but with the women. But I know with our women, I want to stay as authentic and as true to who they are. And when I shot Jazz, she was working in a jail. I went to jail for a day with Jazz, and man, oh man, like, it's as real as it gets. And that's the world we live in, you know. I can't compete with WWE. Billy can't compete with WWE as far as what worlds we are. Tim Storm's a school teacher. Nick Aldis is a dad. Cody's a promoter who is a cowboy on the external. You know, all of these people are as authentic as they are, and we want the national title and the women's title, and, you know, we have some good announcements that we hope to make on this show that I think longtime fans like yourselves will be very excited about 2019. Some will find them small. Some will be so excited. And, you know, the people who believed in us, it's shown in the ticket sales. I mean, 800 people so far have purchased a ticket on a brand that didn't exist a year ago as far as running nationally. You know, and we don't have a second show online yet because we want people to feel this one and correct it. You know, we can pull a show up at any point because we're a pop-up brand. And, you know, this has been such an experience. You know, I'm so excited by where we are and scared to death by where we could be going in the best possible way.
I wanted to ask you about Jazz because I thought that those videos about Jazz were interesting. I didn't know where she was, and now to know that she's going to be on this car is interesting. What I really like about what her presentation, Dave, is that there's no frills there. She's just who she is. She talked about her background and just looked in the camera and is as straightforward as any video, male or female, as far as a promo is concerned, to make you want to watch her match. I mean, she just popped off the screen like, okay, she was never like that in the WWE, and I'm looking at her now and like, this is who she is, and I'm here for it. It's great.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously I worked with Jazz and WWE in 2002. You know, she was a part of the cuts that changed WWE, basically when they really went full diva search. It was her, I think it was Nydia, it was Gail Kim. There was a group of girls all cut at ladies cut at the same time. And, you know, Jazz was one of them. And she has a severe chip on her shoulder with this. Because now, if the Jazz of 2002 came around now, she'd be celebrated. And now she is much older. She's not going to deny that. And she is not celebrated like Trish, like her contemporaries. Trish and Lita are celebrated. Here are two women she beat at WrestleMania, and she is not celebrated. She's not on Evolution. And obviously I know the reasons why she's not. But she was the NWA Women's Champion when we purchased the brand. And I've told the story multiple times, and I don't really care about these people because they didn't believe in Billy and I. And when we bought the brand, there were 7 champions that we purchased the company. 4 of them, 4 sets of the champions, didn't play the long game. I was very honest and upfront, and anybody who's ever dealt with me, I have no propensity to lie anymore, because in a business full of workers and liars, I can get progress by being authentic and truthful. I told them all. I said, I know our plan as of this moment is to simply focus on the world champion October 1st. I will let you defend these championships in any of the NWA licensed territories whose paperwork, even though not executed, they never had executed paperwork. All of these promoters that gave me such heartache and grief that they weren't figured in moving forward had no executed paperwork. Think about that for a second. But anyway, so I let them defend the title in all those territories up until October 1st. I called them all about 2 weeks before saying, hey, listen, you have no more dates. Can you please send the title back? If you do, without any grief, you'll get an at-bat when we start running. Barrett Brown sent the belt back immediately. I spoke to Jazz. I let her know what I wanted. I told her, I trust you. You can keep the belt. I trust you with it until the period that I'm ready to go. Everybody else tried to hold me up for money, bookings, or wanted 6-figure contracts. So those gentlemen all returned the titles. None got money, and none are getting an opportunity on the show, and have squawked on their Facebook to their 20 friends. And I only bring it up because if they would have played the long game, they would have gotten an opportunity on this show. But right. They played the short game. Some enacted lawyers. Some we pitched creative to that said, I'm not doing that, and what your opinion doesn't matter of a hill of beans. And these people just like, and in the year that's passed, Jonathan, they have done nothing. And what we have done is shown that we have the ability to grow a brand, and that's all we wanted to do with these people. So Barrett Brown, he's getting an opportunity. We're not going to focus on the Junior Heavyweight Championship at this point, but he's going to have a chance to wrestle the Laredo Kid on this show. He earned that opportunity by doing business the right way. The same with Jazz. And that's what we want to do, is do business the right way. And that's how this brand will work moving forward. And the carnies will go carny themselves in the corner in Carnyland.
Yeah. Well, again, they'll live and they'll learn. This is a big event, NWA 70, and they're not part of it. So it's on them.
And I don't feel bad, because I was honest enough front, and the brother-brother game, they out-brothered themselves.
Sure. Exactly, of course. A person I have not talked to you about, but I'm very intrigued by it, and I think many are, because I should have asked you about him on All In, because he was conspicuous by his absence, was Josephus. I need more of him in my life. I just saw one of the recent videos that you posted of Josephus. I'm glad that he's going to be part of this. In that Kevin Sullivan, Raven, Jake Roberts type mold, Josephus is very, very interesting. What did you think of him when you first met him and then started rolling and filming his character? What did you think of him?
Josephus is a very unique character. I actually knew him. He was around TNA with Billy. You know, he had worked with Billy, I think, in Resistance Pro. Traveled around the country with him on a 30 Days project we did. We had built a character into some of the episodes we had did where he was looking for the Corgan. His name, AG, which was a wink and a nod to somebody. He's been my favorite, and I actually got a very nice compliment from somebody online. For as much as 10 pounds of gold is pure reality, Josephus is not. And, you know, the spiritual advisor, and now Hollywood from GLOW, and the Kingdom of Josephus, there's legitimately nothing that those characters can't do as far as making you think, what the heck? You know, we did this dream sequence with Josephus and the spiritual advisor in Crimson. You know, there are 2 videos that I think you're referring to. There's the one where Josephus is incensing pictures of the spiritual advisor in Hollywood as he prepares for NWA 70. And then there's the self-shot one that went out last night where he announced that he is leading the spiritual advisor and Hollywood into battle against Crimson and Jack Stane with Road Warrior Animal. It's something different on the show. And we're not, it's his, by the way, people like Josephus exist. You know, he's not, it's not far too different than what's existing in the world. I'll just say that much. We've met people like this, and, you know, Josephus is a real kind of nut job.
Yeah, I enjoy it. And people online are wondering, you know, where's Josephus, and he pops up, and so it's just great to see him out there. He's very intriguing.
He's earned the opportunity, and you know what started as a one-off match with Tim Storm, you know, his character legitimately changed the course of Tim Storm's career in storyline, you know, and ultimately it came back around to, you know, Tim's return. You know, when he came back. And I'm real happy with the narrative of the first year. If you've watched every episode 10 times of Golden, I think we've got 38. You know, the one that hopefully has it done tomorrow is going to be 39. You know, and 40 will be the one that comes out off for NWA 70 with the world title story. You know, this is, there's nothing like this. Nothing like this exists in wrestling right now. A narrative story doesn't exist like that. So, like this has been the proudest thing, because a year ago, I think I put the first one out around this time last year, and to see it evolve and change every episode, it's really been sort of a life-changing experience for me, as I hate to use the word artist, but yeah.
Dave, Jim Cornette and Tony Schiavone, as far as commentators, they'll be part of this as well. Do you have any fond memories of those two? And Cornette buying in, I think that's a win also.
Yeah, the Cornette was, you know, I posted a tweet. The very first video I ever cut was a music video for the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette in 1990. I cut it on 2 VHS decks. I had learned how to sort of edit video and music in a very crude way. And I sent it to Jim, because at the time I had become friends with somebody that was friends with Jim, and Jim didn't remember it, but I know he watched it because I got notes back. To be able to produce a piece of content 28 years later with Jim, you know, was really cool. And people have very strong opinions on Jim. He is a resource to this business, and I think you see what's in his closet, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. And then, by the way, there's so much more that I want to do with him. And he's a resource to the brand. And in 8 minutes, he got the championship over in a way that was so good. That I was so happy with it, and there's so much more, and you know, he's gonna be such a resource on commentary. It's gonna be so good.
I just thought that his video was great and just really put it over in a big way, and it's genuine because he loves the National Wrestling Alliance. He loves it, Dave. And so when you were able to go into his personal attic and going through some of the history of the NWA, you know that he, you know, no matter what Jim says about writers or current wrestling, once you showed him the Aldis Cody stuff, of course he fell in love again, because that's what he resonates with. That's what he loves. He loves the drama. He loves the conversation, the promos, and the actual in-ring action. So he bought in, of course, because we're all buying in. Look at it. I mean, it's great. So yeah. I'm not surprised Jim is falling in love again with the NWA at this point.
Yeah, it's been really neat experience. Tony Schiavone, I've never worked with. I've only talked to him on the phone a couple times, and excited for him to call the main event. I want to thank Major League Wrestling for making that that possible. And you know, it's been such a great experience, and it's going to be so good. So
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Hope that everyone else will as well. NWA 70, October 21st, 7:05 Eastern, 6:05 Central Time from the Fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee. It's Aldis Cody 2. Two out of three falls for the NWA Championship. As an NWA fan, I cannot wait for this. And Dave, as I told you in Chicago, as I told you before, your efforts not in vain. We all love this, especially the NWA YouTube page, by following along. If you have not seen this, follow along and then order the pay-per-view on the Fight app, so that way you're caught up to date with Aldis Cody and all the other events taking place on that card. I appreciate it, Dave, as always.
Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to Under the Hood Podcast with Jonathan Hood.
Great to talk to Dave Lagana, friend of the program for Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. As a NWA fan, really excited about this. Again, my NWA fandom goes back to the 1980s. Seeing Ric Flair and seeing Hands of Stone, Ron Garvin, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Russians. So this is great that the NWA brand means something. It's meant something for quite a while now under the auspices of Dave Lagana. And of course, what is happening now in the NWA. It's so much fun. Really happy for the NWA having this event on the Fight app. Tony Schiavone and Jim Cornette doing commentary as well. So it's just like the good old days of the NWA, but it's more modern now, and it's really going strong. NWA 70. I hope you get a chance to watch, because I'll be watching as well on the Fight app on Sunday, 7:05 Eastern, 6:05 Central Time from the Fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee. And again, go to the Fight app to take a look at that. It's going to be a lot of fun. The executive producer of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday is Sean Davis. Talk to you next time. Another edition of Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, right here on the Under the Hood Podcast.